Hey, it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
Watch that social media movie that Alabama Adriana is raving about, but I did see some activity on social media from Alabama Adriana over the weekend. Were you pausing that documentary to tweet?
I paused that documentary to not only tweet about the documentary, but I also made a post on Instagram totally unrelated.
Did it change your mind? Like, am I going to be off social media after I watch it?
You might be off of Facebook. I think for me, I'm already off of Facebook and Snapchat. I've pretty much minimalized it as much as I can. But it definitely made me think a lot about like the advertising and how much they care about your data.
They got us. We're like a bunch of crackheads when it comes to our social media.
Totally.
By the way, what happened to TikTok? I thought it was going away over the weekend.
You're asking the wrong person. I should be asking you.
I think that TikTok is still, like, you can still use it if you've downloaded it already, but it's been removed from the App Store, so you can't download it fresh, and you won't get any updates to the app anymore either. So, over time, the experience will get worse and worse and worse, in theory.
No, the experience is already bad. I'm burning an hour and a half a week on there. Daniel Popper of The Athletic, he covers the Chargers. They had an exciting day yesterday. They're interesting. They're relevant. Part of that is Justin Herbert, who made his debut. Daniel Popper joining us. Did you see that coming? Did you know he would start?
No. Well, so every time I've come on with you since he's been drafted by the Chargers, I've pinned it in pretty clear words. Like, the only way he was going to see the field if there was a catastrophe. And that's what happened Sunday. Tyrod Taylor had chest pains and difficulty breathing before kickoff. He actually participated in warm-ups, and then at some point after he went back to the locker room and started dealing with these issues, the training staff looked at him and said, hey, you got to go to the hospital and get this checked out. So after the coin toss, the training staff informs Anthony Lynn, hey, you're not going to have your starting quarterback. He's got to go to the hospital because of chest pain. And so after the coin toss, Anthony Lynn walks up to Justin Herbert and says, hey, kid, you're making your first NFL start against the defending champions. And that's how it went down. Now, Herbert responded in very admirable fashion, considering the circumstances. But you could argue that maybe it was the best situation for a rookie to step in and make his first start. He didn't have all, you know, night to think about it. There were no nerves. It was, hey, here's the ball and go play. And that's exactly what he did.
He looked mostly ready. I thought there were a couple of deer in the headlights moments. I had Joey Harrington, who was watching the game, tell me that he thought that critical third down where he and the running back went the wrong way, it looked as though the wrong formation was called in the huddle. That's probably a rookie mistake there. But what did he have to say afterwards? What did Herbert say?
Yeah, so this is the first time we really got like a post-game interview with Justin Herbert, and he was really clean cut. You know, we're going to watch the film. We're going to get better. You know, I was a little bit shocked by it, but, you know, I've been waiting for this moment all my life. So it was pretty clean cut. There wasn't anything particularly noteworthy from what he said. But what Anthony Lynn said was actually more interesting. You know, he said he went up to Herbert and told him he was starting, and he was almost shocked. And he had to say it a couple of times because it seemed like Herbert thought Lynn was joking. And that's really an indication of sort of where the Chargers were. You know, they were always going to be patient with this kid. They were never going to rush him on the field unless something like this happened. So he was obviously surprised when he got the news, and it was almost like he thought Lynn was joking because it was such a far-fetched idea for him to step on the field against the Chiefs in week two. But ultimately, you know, after the game, he was speaking about the fact that, you know, he made some mistakes. He knows he needs to get better. There's some throws that he needed back and wanted to have back. You know, the one play that sticks out to me from the game is that interception late in the third quarter when he rolled out to his left on second and two, had 8 yards in front of him to pick up the first down. The Chargers were leading by 8 points at that point, and they were getting very close to field goal range. If he picks up 8 yards there, they're probably in field goal range. They kick a field goal and go up 11 points with a quarter left to play, and maybe it's a different game. Instead, he turns and throws across his body and tries to make a throw that maybe he completes at Oregon, but definitely is not going to be completed in the NFL. It's picked off. The Chiefs score a touchdown and a two-point conversion on the ensuing possession. It's a tie game, and that, to me, ultimately was the turning point. And those are really the mistakes that you're going to look at when Lynn is making his decision. If Taylor is healthy, you know, those are the plays that Tyrod Taylor is not going to make. He's not going to force the ball into tight windows. He's not going to throw those back-breaking interceptions that was primarily the reason why they moved on from Phillip Rivers. But I think ultimately he was basking in the moment. He said he went out and he had some fun. And you could see it on his face, you know, watching the TV tape, just, you know, smiling and really having a good time out there, which you'd expect from a kid his age making his first NFL start.
Anthony Lynn now looks like he's going back to Tyrod Taylor. Is that the right move for the team? Is that the right move for Herbert? How do you read that?
So it's going to depend on where Tyrod Taylor's health is. You know, we have a Zoom conference call with Anthony Lynn at 1:30, so we'll get a little more of a clear update on where exactly Tyrod Taylor is. You know, this is obviously a serious situation. You go to the hospital for chest pains and difficulty breathing. You don't really know what's happening. And obviously it could be a long-term situation. So if Taylor isn't ready to play, then it's Herbert's team and he's going to be out there. Lynn said yesterday that if Taylor's healthy, he's going to be the quarterback, but that's before he's watched the tape. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before. Anthony Lynn, a pillar of his coaching philosophy, is limiting turnovers. And I think he was pretty upset and disappointed with that turnover that I was speaking about before. But I think when you go back and you watch the tape, you just see what Herbert can do in terms of opening up the offense. He's going to push the ball down the field. He made some absolutely breathtaking throws yesterday. And we all knew he had the arm talent. It was just a question of, could he make the reads properly? But there were a couple throws yesterday that just, you sit there and you're like, wow, okay, this kid's got it. You know, the third down throw to Keenan Allen over the middle. I mean, that's a Mahomes game throw, like just an absolute dart, a bullet, a rocket over the middle in a window that was probably a foot by a foot. You know, that's an NFL throw. And then the touchdown throw to Jalen Guyton was a great read on like a four verts concept in the red zone, and he put it on his back shoulder. You know, he looked really open, but that's a throw in terms of the NFL standards where you got to put that in the exact spot on the back shoulder else it's going to get picked off in that zone coverage. So he played outstanding, and he's going to make this decision difficult. I think you know, we're going to talk to Lynn, like I said, after he watches the tape, and I think he might change his tune a little bit because of the things that Herbert was able to do, both running the ball and throwing the ball.
We're talking to Daniel Popper. He covers the Chargers for The Athletic. What questions about Justin Herbert got answered yesterday?
He can play at this level right now, and I wrote that yesterday. I think there was, you know, a lot of questions about could he get his mental process into the point to make the decisions quickly enough and execute at the NFL level, and I think he answered those questions. You know, it's really a couple plays. You know, ultimately that's what decides NFL games because the margins are so small. But it's really a couple plays. If he can eradicate those mistakes like that interception, you know, you're talking about a guy that played just 311 yards in his first NFL start. And that was the thing that I took away from him. My main takeaway was this guy can play in this league right now. He does not have to wait any longer. You know, obviously, you have to factor in that if teams are game planning for him, he might not be as successful. They might take away some of the things that he does well. But he answered the call in terms of, you know, being able to play at this level, to make the decisions and reads that you need to make in the NFL. He did that with flying colors outside of really that one interception that he threw.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic is with us. Outside of the quarterback position, where are the questions for this Chargers team?
So they're really injured on defense now. And that's the issue. You know, they lost Derwin James for the season during training camp on the second series of the season. In week one, they lost a rising star linebacker, Drew Tranquil, who suffered a gruesome ankle injury. Their second safety alongside Derwin James suffered a groin injury. So now they're deep into their depth as far as guys that are starting and playing meaningful snaps right now at linebacker in the secondary. And the biggest issue for this defense from last year was third down defense. They just could not get off the field on third down. A lot of that was not having a playmaker like Derwin James to, you know, tackle a scrambling quarterback, to cover a running back in the flat on those third downs. And that issue is persisting now, and they're injured, and can they really turn this around with those issues and missing pieces on defense? They're still in the, you know, about low to mid 40% in terms of third down percentage allowed. Obviously it's a small sample size, but that's not going to get it done in the NFL. And for me, that's the primary concern right now. Can they get off the field on third down? And can these backups rise to the challenge and change that tune for this team?
Yeah, it's interesting to me that they're so relevant. Did you expect that they would be relevant, that people would be talking about them? How much of that, too, has to do with Herbert?
Yeah, I think ultimately I thought this team was going to be better than everyone else thought because they have pieces on offense. They have skilled players. They boosted the offensive line by trading for Trey Turner and signing Brian Bulaga. And I thought this defense was going to be a top-five defense in the league. Obviously, they've lost some pieces. But I thought they were going to be in games. And then even in the Chiefs game specifically, they played Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs defensively as well as any team in the league. A lot of that is scheme. Some of it is familiarity. And so I expected this game to be close because their games against the Chiefs are always close. But right now they're relevant because of Justin Herbert. There's no way around that. This guy is electric. He is, they drafted him to be the face of the franchise, and he has that kind of standing in the football world. And when you go out and have the kind of debut that he had, you're going to catch some attention in this league, regardless of how big your fan base is or the fact that you used to play in a soccer stadium that was full of opposing fans. Like, you go out and play like that, especially against the defending champions, you're going to turn some heads, you're going to get some attention, and right now they're relevant because of Justin Herbert.
We're talking to Daniel Popper of The Athletic, covers the Chargers. That was a huge test, Kansas City, in that stadium. Fan base is buzzing about the team and Herbert. When do you expect a decision on who starts moving forward?
So, I'll have a better read on it after Anthony Lynn talks today. I'm curious to see if he walks back what he said yesterday at all. But it's really going to depend on Tyrod Taylor's health, and I wouldn't expect him to reveal any information on that until the injury report comes out Wednesday. But we'll sort of gather information as we go along. And, if Tyrod Taylor's situation is serious and it's something heart-related or something like that, and he's going to have to take some time off, then they're going to have to make this decision, as soon as possible to get Herbert ready. The interesting part of what happened Sunday is that Herbert really did not get a lot of reps during the week, which makes the performance that much more impressive. One thing Anthony Lynn said after the game is that, Herbert barely got any red zone reps with the first team offense. So they were limited in what they could call in the red zone, which is the most important place to operate as an offense in the NFL. You have to be efficient in the red zone to beat good teams. And so they were kind of hamstrung in what they could call because Herbert hadn't run any of the red zone stuff because Tyrod Taylor was getting all those reps. So if they are going to move on to Herbert because of Tyrod Taylor's health or because they think that Herbert gives him a better chance to win, I'm kind of fascinated to see how much better he can get when he's getting all these first-team reps and they don't have to limit the playbook because he hasn't gotten those reps in practice.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple story angles here. If you look at Herbert's span as a football player, you go back to him getting hurt his senior year of high school, coming into Mark Helfrich and then Willie Taggart and then Mario Cristobal. Now onto the NFL, it's like he has never been comfortable with a coordinator, or it's almost like the chaos is comfortable for him. There's one angle for you. Second one, this group of receivers, and it came up earlier in the show, he's never had good receivers. At Oregon, for some reason, they just did not recruit good receivers. We're getting a chance to see him work with receivers for the first time, and that's been a lot of fun as well. But obviously, you've got some other things, but I would be curious to know how good he feels throwing to some guys. He probably wouldn't trash his college receivers, but he's got some weapons.
Yeah, absolutely. And he even talked about that after the game. He's like, it's amazing to have a guy like Keenan Allen, one of the most productive receivers in the league over the last three seasons, the guy that's going to be able to make that kind of catch over the middle of the field. Like, I'm curious how many times he made a throw like that at Oregon where he fired a bullet 30 yards down the middle of the field and the receiver dropped it or didn't want to catch it because he was going to get hit. Throws that to Keenan Allen, and that's a catch and a massive play in the game. One thing is he didn't really target Mike Williams that often. Mike Williams is one of the best 50-50 ball receivers in the league, and so once Herbert gets comfortable with him and develops that rapport with him, he can throw the ball a million miles. All he has to do is put the ball up in the air. He targeted Mike Williams once when he was open down the middle of the field. It should have been a touchdown. Herbert threw it kind of on a line and low, and I think once he learns, okay, with Mike Williams, if he's one-on-one down the middle of the field or on the outside, deep down the field, all I have to do is just put some air on it and chuck it up, and he's going to catch it pretty much every single time. So, it's not just having the talent. It's, okay, he has the talent around him, including Austin Eckler at running back, and once he develops that rapport with these guys and figures out, okay, where do I need to place the ball for these guys to give these guys the best chance to make a play, all of a sudden you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, how good can this group be?
Daniel Popper of The Athletic, before I cut you loose, what's it like to cover an NFL team when you're using Zoom calls and, you know, the stadium's empty? And how challenging is that?
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. I mean, I'm used to, after a game, getting in the locker room and talking to 10, 15 guys in the span of a half hour, getting all these different nuggets and going over X's and O's and saying, hey, I saw this play. What did you guys see here? And then I'm able to put together something pretty comprehensive after the game with quotes from those guys and knowledge from people who really know football X's and O's well. So it's been a little bit challenging, but just sort of have to rely on my own analysis a little bit more. And you know, as Tom Telesco has said, and as NFL teams say, you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome and figure it out. That's what we're supposed to do here as journalists.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic, thank you, sir. Wish you the best. Appreciate you checking in on the Chargers front. I thought Herbert was really good. I think, you know, I had said out of the gates I thought it would be beneficial for him to sit 6 or 8 weeks. I did worry about Tyrod Taylor's health, given sort of the trajectory of his career and staying healthy. Did not expect him to be on the field here in week two against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I thought there were some really, really encouraging moments. I thought there were some other moments where I went, okay, he looks like a rookie here. There were two that stand out to me. One, the interception, and two, you know, that third down call at the towards the end of regulation that resulted in a field goal attempt instead of a first down. Didn't give himself a chance there. But, you know, part of quarterbacking in this league, and you saw it from Russell Wilson, and you saw it from Cam Newton on Sunday night, is making the right play over and over and over again, making the right play on such a consistent basis that suddenly you look up and you've made just a series of right plays. And it's not just one game. It's week to week. It's that consistency that separates the really good quarterbacks in that league from the guys who just have a good game here or there. I'm going to get Joey Harrington on the show later in the week. He's going to talk a little bit, I think, about what that challenge is like. He's currently distance learning with his kids. He's taken the reins on that. So we'll get Joey Harrington later in the week to talk about that. He's lived it. All right, coming up, you're going to hear from Valerie Cleary, the Portland State Athletic Director. But before then, I've got the highlights from what was an amazing sports weekend. We'll play them next. What are the small colleges doing? What are they thinking? You see the Mountain West Conference getting ready to beat the Pac-12 to the punch. They're looking at October 31st. I think that's going to force the Pac-12 hand. I tweeted out just a few minutes ago that a informal poll of Pac-12 conference sources and conference headquarters and campus sources resulted in me sort of leaning towards October 31st as the potential start date for the Pac-12 conference. I've got great sound. It was a great college football, NFL, NBA, golf weekend. Let's do it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio,
presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Let's start with the NBA, where Anthony Davis and the Lakers had some dramatics. Punch it.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! Anthony Davis scored as a good three-point basket. They will take a look, but Anthony Davis is going to send the Lakers to a 2-0 series lead in the clutch. Delivers the bomb.
Clutch shot wins game two of the Western Conference Finals. He was in the same spot that he attempted in his team's last game before the NBA season was suspended. And he lost. He missed that one. He made this one. Everybody's saying he's ready for the big stage. I got news for you. Anthony Davis was ready for the big stage years ago. He is a perennial MVP candidate, all-NBA first-team guy, great defensive player, great offensive player. Nuggets got caught sleeping a little bit because I think in that situation they weren't necessarily expecting Anthony Davis to shoot a three. That's what he did, and he beat him. Lakers up 2-0. We'll find out how much of a backbreaker that is, but you see a lot of times teams unable to come back when their will or their spirit is broken in that way. Sunday Night Football came down to the final seconds as well. Cam Newton and the Patriots knocking on the door. Seahawks trying to stop him. This was a flip-flop from the Super Bowl. Punch
it. This is it.
The fullback's going to shift to be the lead blocker. Here we go.
Cam is going to take it himself, and he doesn't get in. And the Seahawks are going to win the game. Line up with a power formation, and you got L.J. Collier and Leno Hill are the two guys who are there.
So many takeaways from this game. First of all, Russell Wilson, fantastic. Seahawks look great. He's their leader, elite quarterback. Cam Newton, by the way, getting an I told you so moment. He's getting some validation as well. He still has gas in the tank, still has the ability to play. I didn't love the play call at the end from the Patriots. It's evident that the Seahawks were gaming to stop the run, but you know, you can second-guess that all you want. I like the ball in Cam Newton's hands if I'm the Patriots at the end of the game. But, yeah, if they run the same, let's leak the fullback out into the flat, fake run, pass, they walk into the end zone there against the Seahawks. Credit to the Seahawks. I think Pete Carroll's team came to play. It was a great game. This was a thriller. It was an instant classic. Say what you will. This was so much of what was right with the NFL. Seahawks had a lot of firepower. Pete Carroll's a gambler. Love that. But the Seahawks looked ready for Cam Newton. We'll talk a little bit later about what that has to do with Marshawn Lynch. Justin Herbert, former Oregon quarterback with the Chargers now, got a surprise start against the defending Super Bowl champions. And he looked pretty good. Punch it.
Definitely was touchdown at the three. First and goal. Herbert still has it. Herbert's going to take it in for the touchdown. Welcome to the NFL.
Justin Herbert impresses. Tyrod Taylor's still the starter, though. Herbert proved his worth. I thought the Chargers did a nice job of putting him in comfortable positions mostly. He had a couple of moments where he looked like a rookie, but he graded out pretty well for this game. And, you know, threw for 300 yards, ran for a touchdown, went blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes. But when you give Patrick Mahomes the ball back, the end of regulation, that's not on Justin Herbert. That's on Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach. I would have liked to see the Chargers in a regular season game take a shot. But Anthony Lynn yesterday says if Tyrod Taylor's 100% ready to go, he's my starter. Question is, what is 100% when it comes to Tyrod Taylor? Don't be surprised if Justin Herbert has a hard time staying on the bench, even if Taylor's healthy. Dallas and Atlanta in a bizarre finish. Here's the onside kick. Punch it.
So here we go. Dallas needs this without timeouts. Zerline will scrimp. It's got to go 10 yards, and it's close.
Atlanta Falcons hands team needed a little brains. Ball rolling, jump on it. I know everybody's afraid to be the guy that touched the ball before it went 10 yards, but that ball had momentum. Physics. Guys, physics. Jump on the ball. You know what that film session's like. Three Falcons players let that ball roll before a Cowboy jumped on it. I know they knew the rule, but prior to that ball traveling 10 yards, the receiving team can jump on the ball, jump on the football. Hands team. How much did preseason play in that? How much did the fact that they didn't have a lot of reps in preseason play into that? I don't know. I don't know if in training camp you're going to spend a lot of time on hands team. I don't know in preseason games if you're going to get the hands team out on the field and let them practice. but I can guarantee you that the Atlanta Falcons will be working on that this week. Here's the game winner in that game. Punch it.
Greg Zuerlein from 46 to win it for Dallas. Hold is down, kick is up, and it is gone! Somehow, some way, the Cowboys have won it!
Dallas Cowboys were behind 29-10 at halftime. They were behind 20-0 at the end of the first quarter. They go on to win the game 40-39. In the U.S. Open! Came down to a putt. Punch it.
Bryson DeChambeau is indeed a U.S. Open champion at Wingfoot.
He wins by 6 strokes. DeChambeau picks up his U.S. Open championship. 7 wins on the PGA Tour, his first major. Big sports weekend. Portland State, the Big Sky Conference, what are they
doing? We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.